Well, thank you, Miss Mason. Mark, I've always heard that good music paves over a lot of bad preaching. So y'all going to see a good paving job today. Well, don't leave early today. Some of you want to give the invitation. You hit the back door. God hadn't struck you dead yet, but He's going to. And I want you to know at the end of the service, Babby Mason is going to sing a duet up here, and she's going to rock the walls. So if you leave early, there are going to be no refunds. So I invite you to stay for the whole load this morning. I want to talk to you briefly today about a message I've entitled Unashamed. And I just want to look at three verses. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen. We're living in a high-tech, computerized society. I want you to know with this little piece of communication, we can just send a text, Snapchat, anything we desire, all the way around the world in a matter of seconds. But even though we have the latest in communication, we all have the Word of God. There are over 185 million Americans who have never trusted Jesus as Savior and as Lord. In our newfangled society, we've translated liberty into license, freedom into folly, welfare for work, and rights for responsibility. There's corruption in government, a lack of integrity in business. We have a massive drug problem. And here's the saddest thing. We have apathy in our churches. Basically, we don't care. Now listen to me carefully. If we really cared, we would make sure we shared Christ with somebody every single week. Let me ask you a question before we go through this message any further. When's the last time you just sat down with somebody one-on-one and shared your faith? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because 90% of people who are active in churches in America never share Christ once with a lost person during their entire life. Alfred Lord Tennyson was walking by the home of a dear senior adult saint. She was out sitting on the porch at her cottage, and when he walked by, he just looked at her and he said, "Well, what's the news this morning?" And she just looked up and she said, "I want you to know that the only piece of news I know is that Jesus died for my sins." Tennyson looked back and said, "Ma'am, that's the old news. That's the new news, and that's the good news for all the ages." Let's look quickly at these three verses. First of all, Christians should proclaim the gospel if you are unashamed. I looked in one commentary and gave a little resume on the Apostle Paul. Here's what John MacArthur said. Paul was imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Damascus in Berea, laughed at in Athens, considered a fool in Corinth, and declared a blasphemer and lawbreaker in Jerusalem. He was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. Some pagans of Paul's day branded Christianity as atheism because they believed in only one God as atheists, and they thought that Christians were cannibalistic because of the way we observe the Lord's Supper. The Jewish religious leaders of Jerusalem did not intimidate the Apostle Paul, nor did those who were educated, influential pagans at Ephesus, at Athens, and Corinth. The Apostle was eager to preach and teach the gospel in Rome. He was never deterred by opposition. by criticism. He was never disheartened, never ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of years ago, I was asked to mentor a student. That turned out not to be my calling in life. I did the best I could. But I told the public school teachers, I said, if you are going to allow me to come and mentor one of your students, I'm going to share the gospel with him. You can fire me. You can put me out of the public school. I really don't care. If we teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, and then they die and go to hell one day, what have we actually accomplished? And people need to know the truth. And I want you to know the little fella that I was with that year got saved and was baptized at another church. Then one day, here's what the little kids do. They're kind of sneaky. When you walk in and it's your time to mentor with them, sometimes they'll say, hey, can I bring a friend with me? Because they know that's going to distract from quality time with them. I said, yeah, bring your friend. I happened to have a salvation bracelet with me that day, and I just shared Jesus with his friend right there in the library. Every true believer knows it's a serious sin to be ashamed of the Savior and our Lord. But let me ask you this question. Are you not sharing because you're intimidated? You're afraid of being socially rejected? We have a health and wealth gospel that has absolutely taken America by storm. You can turn on television this afternoon or tonight, and I'm not going to call any names, but you're not going to hear the word sin addressed. You're not going to hear anything about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these places are full because they are seeker-friendly. Seeker-friendly says, we simply don't want to say anything from our pulpit that would offend anybody in the whole wide world because people might not come back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather tell the truth than to let people go to hell with a positive attitude. John MacArthur said he was invited to a youth conference not too long ago. And he said, I'll share with you the unbiblical mindset that is in many of our churches now. He said a youth minister invited him to preach at a youth conference. And he said when he finished, the youth minister's wife walked up to John MacArthur and said, sir, I want you to know that you offended me in that sermon. And I want you to know that you offended every teenager out here in the congregation at this youth conference. And he said, how did I offend them? She said, the youth minister's wife said, you made it look like that every teenager here is a sinner. He said, well, praise God. That's what I was trying to do. All of us are sinners, not just the teenagers. Paul's supreme passion was to see people saved. There's some things we're not ashamed of on Saturdays. I've always been amazed when I turn on a football game. And I know this is one of your honor students that you're spending money on in college. It's 35 degrees. There's 10 guys across the front row. They have no shirts on. And they've tried to spell the name of their school or their mascot across their chest. I was never tempted to do that because a whole letter wouldn't fit on my chest when I was in college. Only weighed 115 pounds. But you know, they're out there cheering on their team. There's a norther blowing in. They're all going to have pneumonia. And you're at home with that bumper sticker that says, my UGA student is an honor student. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, my dog is smarter than your honor student. And that's another deranged person, but I just want you to know it's out there. And then you see it's 95 degrees and somebody is down there with a mascot uniform running around like a yellow jacket. I don't understand all that. People are screaming. They're passionate. If it looks like we're getting to 11:30, some people are getting up and leaving. But if we're in double overtime with our favorite college team, we don't dare move. Who do we worship? What do we worship? I was with my wife going to through Alabama going down to the Gulf. We stopped at a Cracker Barrel over near Auburn University. We walked in, I saw something I'd never seen before. Now, you know, I'm not much of a T-shirt person. I just prefer a collar. My neck is so big around it intimidates larger people. So I just like a collar around my neck. Well, we walked in, there was an Alabama fans there. This is the truth. She saw it. And when they walked by me, on the back side of their shirt, there was the posterior view of an elephant. And here's what it said. If you don't roll with the tide, the view is always the same. Think about that. That is a fan. Let me ask you a question. What about the message of Jesus? Are you as passionate about Christ as you are your favorite sports team? Only you can answer the question. Second thing I want to see in these verses, the power of salvation. Look at Romans 1:16b says, it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. We get aggravated and frustrated in America at the way we are criticized and sometimes silenced and put in our place. I want you to know none of this is new. You go back into biblical times, and I did a little research on this. The ancient pagans mocked Christianity not only because the idea of a substitutionary atonement seemed ridiculous to them, but also their mythical gods were apathetic, detached, and remote, totally indifferent to the welfare of men. So the idea of a caring, redeeming, self-sacrificing God was totally foreign to the ancient pagans. While excavating the ancient ruins of Rome, archaeologists discovered a derisive painting depicting a Christian slave bowing down before the cross. And painted on that cross was a donkey. A man named Celsus wrote a letter bitterly attacking Christianity in the late 2nd century. Here's what he said. Let no cultured person draw near, none wise, none sensible. For all that kind of thing we count evil. But if any name is ignorant, if any is wanting in sense and culture, if any is a fool, let them come to Christianity. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 2:1-2. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and Him crucified. Every believer, no matter how gifted or whatever human limitations and weaknesses we have, not one of us is exempt from sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture testifies to God's glorious power. Listen to this in Exodus 15:6. We find His glorious power. You turn to Deuteronomy 32:39, His irresistible power. In Job 5:9, His unsearchable power. In Job 9:4, you find His mighty power. We see His great power in Psalm 79:11, His incomparable power in Psalm 89:8, His strong power in 89:13 of Psalms, His everlasting power in Isaiah 26:4, His effectual power in Isaiah 43:13, and His sovereign power in Romans 9:21. And I want you to know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you, and you've been given that power. And we should not be afraid of anything or anyone when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I was asked to come and speak at a civic club here in Rome, Georgia. Now, we've got some good civic clubs here. But they assigned me a topic. And my topic was, you're going to love this, how does your faith in Christ affect your politics? Now, how dumb was that to assign me that topic? And I want you to know, about 100 people showed up that day. And so when I stood up before them, I said, I guess some of you are wondering, as you're having lunch, why there's a Baptist preacher that's been asked to come and address you on this subject. I said, I'm wondering the same thing. So I went on to have church that day. Now you understand there were some Episcopalians there. They weren't sure what was going on. They were waiting on us to get out the wine and cheese. And then there were some other people there, the other persuasions. But I just held up the name of Christ. And when I finished, I told them my dad was a World War II veteran. And he flew Hellcats and Corsairs off aircraft carriers, blowing up enemy submarines in World War II. My dad lost 3 of his flight mates. And he didn't serve to protect the kind of America that's being touted in our faces today. And I said, when you leave here today, it doesn't matter whether you're saved. Well, it matters if you're saved, but what church you belong to here, I hope you're saved. You're going to see crosses all across this town on steeples. That's a reminder of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's your duty to tell people in this town about the blood that was shed for their sins. We need to be courageous. We need to be out sharing Christ so more would be converted. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Listen, there's the power of God living within us. Now here's where we are in a lot of churches. I believe, like Billy Graham, I believe there are a lot of people in our churches that have never been saved. Listen to me carefully. I read about this church that had a committee that screened people that joined their church. Now, you know, the first thing I'm going to ask somebody is, you ever been born again? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Well, this church had a committee to do that. Isn't that a blessing? No committees in heaven. And so they sat down with this man, and he said, I want to join the church. The committee said, well, tell me about your experience. He said, well, I laid down to go to sleep one night and heard a bug under my pillow. And so he said, I raised up the pillow, and I didn't see him anymore. So I put my pillow back down, put my head back down on the pillow, and said, I heard a bug scratching under my pillow. Looked under there again, he's not there, put my pillow down, he's still scratching under there. And he said, because I heard a bug scratching under my pillow, I think you ought to let me be a member of your church. Somebody stood up on the committee and said, that's not a reason to let you join our church. Another man on the committee stood up and he said, I believe we can admit him to our church because there's a lot of people that join our church that have never even heard a bug scratch under a pillow. Are you with me so far? There are a lot of people who've never known the power of salvation and conversion in their life. No wonder they're not sharing the gospel. We got power, folks. Notice the next thing, people from whom the gospel is intended. Verse 16, God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And notice the Apostle Paul says the gospel needs to be extended to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, the gospel is to be extended to everyone. Paul in his missionary journeys took the gospel first to the synagogue. But I want you to notice in Acts 13:46, the gospel began in Jerusalem, a Jewish city, then spread to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I like what James Stewart, the famous Scottish minister, said. He says, no church is anything more than a pathetic, pietistic backwater unless it is first and fundamentally and all the time a world missionary church. Listen to me carefully. Write this down. Somebody said, every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. Which one are you? John Wesley said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I would set this world on fire. Several weeks ago, I'd gone to lunch with Tom here on our staff. We were coming back, we saw smoke out towards Highway 27. Somebody told us later on that somebody was setting fires, starting near Darlington, going down Highway 27, all the way into Polk County. Gordon County, Floyd County, Polk County, Bartow County all responded to this emergency. The first word was, somebody is throwing some kind of accelerant out their window as they go down the highway and catching the woods on fire. Several homes were endangered. One man had some vintage cars in a big storage building. It burnt to the ground, melted the cars. Everything is so dry and so tender right now. Later on, the investigators discovered a man was driving an old pickup truck and the catalytic converter malfunctioned. It was spewing out sparks on the side of the road, and the man had no idea what was going on. And he burned miles and miles of land and almost burned down some houses because of that mistake. That was just an accident. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a town that is lost. We live in a town where we're in spiritual warfare. We're living in a town that doesn't care anything in the world about Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church or any other church in this town reaching people for Christ. But we've got to show them love. We've got to show them mercy. We've got to show them grace. Because when we share Christ and people get saved, you know what happens? A family member gets saved. Then another family member gets saved. Then a family member reaches a friend and reaches a friend's friend. And the next thing you know, you've got an evangelistic revival breaking out in your town. How we need that in our entire nation. Notice the other thing. Now listen carefully. The principle for the Christian life in verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, what he's talking about here is an imputed righteousness. Once you get saved, not only does the Holy Spirit take up residence within you, but you also have an imputed righteousness, one that's given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But notice what else we find Him. But the righteous man shall live by faith. Tuesday night, everybody was upset. I told Elaine at 8:45, I said, I'm going to bed. I've led prayer and fasting. I brought in Dr. Richard Lee to preach two services. I brought in David Allen. I preached a couple of sermons. I prayed. I've done everything I know to do. I'm just going to bed. And I'm going to tell you what, I had a peace. I didn't know who was going to win the election. I had absolutely no idea, but I knew when I got up, Jesus was not up for re-election. He was still on the throne. Isn't that right? I've begun doing something. I know you're not supposed to talk about your prayer time that much to people. That's something between you and God. But when I wake up in the morning, I've decided just to lay right there and get prayed up before I let my little 8 narrows hit the floor. And you know what I found out? That gets rid of the interruptions, the phone calls, just a whole lot of things Satan wants to use to distract you. Wednesday morning, the clock went off. I stayed right where I was to pray. Delaney said, I've got to get up. I said, go ahead. I heard her fixing breakfast in the kitchen. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. I just pray. I've been praying 15 or 20 minutes, and Delaney walks in the bedroom, turns on the lamp, looks me straight in the eye, and she said, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, what? We caught a kitchen on fire when we were on vacation. I had to use the fire extinguisher. So she said, I don't know how to tell you this. The kitchen's on fire. I don't know. And she says, Donald Trump won the election? And said, I keep listening to the reporters, and they say it. They don't believe it. So I started reading the tagline down at the bottom of the TV screen, and she says, it says the same thing those reporters are reporting right now. I said, you got to be kidding. And so I decided, you know what? I need to pray some more. Let me tell you, if you just take the worries and concerns of this world and just put them into God's hands. Listen, I heard somebody the other day said, when you're working, work like everything depends on you. When you're praying, pray like everything depends on God. Well, that sure does give you peace. Share Christ with people. A man in our church called me this week. And he said, I really need to talk to you. And I'm not going to violate confidence or anything. I just want to tell you because this part's public. You heard about the Colonial Pipeline being struck by a backhoe and the man burned to death. This is another man with 90% burns on life support now. Others were injured. Others just saw this. This man in our church works for that company in the safety department. So, Babby, while you were getting ready to do the ladies' conference yesterday and lead worship, I was over here listening to him pour his heart out on what he's seen. And the way he's trying to help his workers. And the people he's known for so many years. Some have got deaths in their family. Some are permanently scarred. But he said, do you know what it's like to look at somebody burned over 90% of their body? How bad can that be? How do I help these people? I'm counseling with them. And I said, look, you're not competent to counsel with them. You're going to need a psychiatrist, psychologist, somebody that deals with post-traumatic stress for the families and the people that saw all this. But he said, you know what? The man who's burned 90% over his body is saved. And he said, do what you can do to save me physically. But I know where I'm going when I die. Unashamed. They're in front of a bunch of pipeline workers and their families. I'm tired of protesters in our nation. Some of you are familiar with Ken Ham and his associates have built a replica of Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Took several years to build it, and over $100 million was the price tag. I was reading the other day that they built this thing to the specs found in the Bible. It's 560 feet long. It's 85 feet wide, 51 feet high. That's seven stories. And the first year it was open, it attracted 2 million visitors. Isn't that amazing? Ken Ham with Creation Ministries decided that we need a biblical illustration of what God has done in the past and get the gospel to everybody that comes through a tour of Noah's Ark. Some of our church members visited there. I haven't been yet. Here's what they told me. They said it's right off the exit of the interstate. He said, we went, we paid our money. He said, it's absolutely phenomenal. But he said, when we were driving off the interstate and just about to Noah's Ark, you could see it. He said, there were some people protesting from the American Atheist Society. They were out there with signs protesting, you know, this is a conflict with separation of church and state. Does anybody have a brain here underneath those signs? We don't really know. You know, one thing I've noticed about atheists too, when they get sick, they don't go to atheist or agnostic memorial hospital. They go to St. Luke's Hospital or the Baptist Hospital. I just don't understand that. Isn't that a conflict of interest in their place where their brain's supposed to be? I'm just not sure. Let me tell you what happened that day our members went up there. At lunchtime, some of the staff from Noah's Ark went out to these 25 or 30 protesters from the American Atheist Society. And the staff took Chick-fil-A box lunches to the protesters, along with bottled water. Not a shame. You know what else they did? They said, listen, go ahead and eat lunch. Said, and if any of you would like to see what you're protesting when you finish eating, we'll take you on a free tour of Noah's Ark. Don't you like that? That's unashamed. Let me tell you what our church members told us. They said there was one young lady out there carrying a sign who was forced by her mother to be out there picketing for the American Atheist Society. When you get to stage 3 or stage 4 in Noah's Ark, the whole gospel story is shared with every visitor. That girl who was forced by her mother broke down in tears because for the first time in her life, she had been told the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that just like God? Somebody forced to carry an atheist sign and on the same day have a divine appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ken Ham's not ashamed. He was willing to put up big money, over $100 million, to lead people to Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And ladies and gentlemen, if Roe versus Wade is ever to be overturned, the time is now. And people are going to see abortion different when they see it through the eyes of Jesus when they're born again. I had a fourth grader that sent me an email. And he was laying down the difference in the candidates. He said, we have a candidate that wants to take our guns, yet wants to keep legal taking unborn infants and killing them in the name of abortion. Why is that happening? Because we're ashamed to stand up for Christ. We're ashamed to share the gospel. Why is it that our kids come home from school and say, well, so-and-so over here is going with so-and-so and they're same sex, and we think that's all right? I keep hearing about millennial opinions, and I love millennials, but you know what? My opinion doesn't count. Wood, hay, stubble. The only opinion that counts is God's. God created male and female, and He ordained marriage. I'm not ashamed. What about you? People ask me to go pray in a public place, and they say, don't mention the name of Jesus. Well, if I don't mention the name of Jesus, who are we praying to here? Don't invite me to pray, because I'm going to mention that. What are they going to do to you? What? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Not just your staff, but every believer to lovingly share Christ and stand up for the one who died for us. Are you ready? Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.